read God's word in 1 John, verse 2, chapter 2, 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everyone in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world that is desire pass away, but whoever does the will of God live forever. Very, very happy that Deacon Samuel be preaching today, and the topic is fatal attraction. Good morning, brothers and sisters. We praise God that we have the opportunity to worship Him together. Today's topic is fatal attraction. It's fatal attraction. Well, actually, this is a movie that's 30 years ago. Did anybody seen the movie before? You remember part of the movie? Let's look at this picture. Actually, the movie was on the 1970s by Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. Inside the movie, Michael Douglas was an attorney. He had a wife and a daughter. Actually, looked like a beautiful marriage. His wife and his daughter were out of town. So he's alone in his house. Then he accidentally bumped into this girl. They have a one-night stand. So he thought, Michael Douglas thought just one-night stand. He's just a short fling. But actually, Glenn Close had a psychological problem. She constantly pursued him. Yeah, Dan actually come after his wife with a knife. That's for the movie called The Fatal Attraction. Well, actually, you probably never encountered something like that before. I hope not. But actually, in this world, there's many different attractions. Maybe no one come after you with a knife or point at you a temple with a gun. But for us, actually, a lot of those are fatal. We pray that we could use today's passage to think about this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. You call us today to worship you. Every one of us want to live a life that's pleasing to you. But we understand that we live a life pleasing to you, we have to first know your will. And this is from your words. So we pray today that your Holy Spirit will help us understand your word. So understand your words. And your word will come to our hearts. And your word will guide us at any time. So we have the ability to follow you. We feel the rest of the time in your hand. We pray that you will use my mouth. So whatever I said would be pleasing to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. When we read the passage about love the world, if you've been in the church a long time, you always say about love. You're always about loving the world. We preach that we do not love the world. If you are from a house church background, you even more familiar with not loving the world. Keep on. They will tell, "Hey, don't love the world." Or maybe when you ask for forgiveness, you say, oh, Lord, I still love the world. Love the world too much. What is loving the world? What is loving the world? We always afraid that people label us. Say we love the world. So we especially pay attention. Especially there's some preacher. That's what they said. He said, if a pastor, when you buy a car, you have to be really careful. You cannot drive a very expensive car. If you buy an expensive car as a preacher, they can say you love the world. That's why Pastor Linus, before he said, I only could buy a Camry. Even though he could buy a more expensive car, he said, no, I wouldn't buy an expensive car. Well, actually, so the church, we make up a lot of rules that is actually not real. Does that mean if you drive a Lexus or you drive a BMW, you love the world, and you drive, if you drive a Korean car, then you don't love the world? If you drive a cheaper car, that means you don't love the world. I hope that today's passage will help you understand more. Let's look at verse 15. Right here, that verse 15, loving the world, a lot of people may not understand. What is don't love the world? Did you say God created the world? Whatever God created is beautiful, right? Why can't we love what God created? Can we love the world? Everything God created is beautiful. We could love the beautiful world God created. How come there's a conflict? They say if you love the world and you don't love God. On the surface, look kind of strange. Let's talk about what is the world. In Chinese translation, on Gospel of John, the world means different thing. There's multiple meaning. There's the world, the people, and the world that we live in. When we find the world, there's different meaning. Let's look at the on the Greek. Most of you wouldn't understand. Actually, there's two different meaning, several different, multiple meaning. God, the world could mean the universe God created. But all could also mean that something that opposite to God. Because the world right now is corrupted by Satan. So when we love the world, that means we love what Satan created. So you think that what Satan, the corrupted world, and what God created seem is very similar, but it's not. So when it said don't love the world, that doesn't mean the beautiful world that God created. But what we refer to is the world that's corrupted by Satan, that under his dominion. That's where the temptation and the sin originate. So let's make it clear. So what we refer to, don't love the world, that means don't love this corrupted world. Let's look at the next passage. What is that we should not love? There's three things. There's craving of the sinful man, the lust of the eye, and the boasting of what we had to have. These three things almost cover all the temptation that we will encounter. And all these temptations, most of the time, lead us to sin. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What Adam and Eve, what did he do? What sin did they commit? They ate, right? Before they sinned, what did they do? Before they eat, what happened? Didn't he just see the fruit that's so desirable? What I saw, I want to eat. And he ate. He have the craving of the sinful eye, the lust of his eye. What's another reason what he eat? How did the snake tempt him? The serpent said, after you eat, you become God. You would become the God that could judge anything. When God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit, God set down the rule. When Adam and Eve decide to eat the fruit, he's saying, God, I'm not going to listen to you. I make my own decision. That's pride. So all these we could see from Adam and Eve's sin. We're going to talk about this later again. Do you notice when Satan tempt Jesus, there's three things also? Let's look at these again. What type of bondage these things created to us? The first thing is the craving of the sinful man. The lust of the flesh is not only the refer to lust of man and woman. Refer to all desire of men. After Adam and sin, we always try to use the lust of the flesh to satisfy ourselves. Let's make clear again. Is all desire bad? What do you think? When you're hungry, you want to eat something. Is this craving bad? When you're hungry, I cannot tell you not to eat. If I have desire to wear a prettier clothes, is that bad? If I dress properly, is it okay? If we meet the basic needs, actually, it's not bad at all. If you're supposed to eat, then you eat. That's not a desire. But if you eat and the whole day, that's all you're concerned about is eating. When you're supposed to eat, you eat. Or you eat in secret. Uncontrollable eating. This is a problem. Chinese people love to eat. We really emphasize in eating. Chinese people want to eat all over the world, play all over the world. I want to do that too. Whenever you hear a delicious meal, what is served, you want to rush over there. Well, do you notice after you ate the great meal, it's just okay. Who really resists the temptation? Jesus. When Jesus resists the temptation in the desert, didn't the Satan said, if you're hungry, you could turn the rock into food? What is the Jesus' immediate response? He didn't fall into temptation. What did he say? He's a man not living by fruit, by the mouth of all word from proceed from the mouth of God. So Jesus uses the word of God to resist the temptation. Hunger is not lust, it's not the desire. But if you use improper way to meet his need, then it's not to not meet the need of God. Well, even our food, clothing, all creep, and also excessive physical need can be considered as lust. If I want to do whatever I want to do, even sleeping. You ever thought of it? A long time ago, there's a lot of churches, especially the house churches. They are very strict about these things. Most of our sister here cannot meet that standard. You know what's considered loving the world? If you wear high heel, that you love the world. Because you follow the world. Well, actually, when you perm your hair, you love the world. Why? You would say, your hair look good. Why do you have to get a perm? Is that getting a perm and wearing high heel, that's following the world? I think that's a little bit extreme. When we see people buy big houses, drive nice luxury car, is that loving the world? How do we judge? We have to meet in the middle. We cannot live into extreme. What is the living and the what is living the way of the pleasing to God? Don't live in extreme. It's not like certain thing that we do that mean that we love the world. This person may not have money right now. He drive a Hyundai, a 15 years old car. Very old, and it's like $1,000 only. It's all torn up, the car. But he, in his heart, he desire a beautiful car. He drive an old car because he can't afford it. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love the world because he want an expensive car. Well, someone drive a Mercedes. But God gave him abundant blessing. But if he don't put the emphasis on the expensive car he drive, he still focus on God. That doesn't mean this person drive expensive car love the world. So to each of us, in other word, do we love the world, is something that we have to give account to God. When we talk about the flesh, lust of the flesh, we have to talk about the desire of the flesh. The Chinese people always talk about this. The Chinese said the sex, on top of the sex, there's a sore. There's a lot of problem. Before, they just talking about this is only men, men's problem. Now it's even women's problem too. Today I heard a new saying. When men got money, they turn bad. But what happened with women? They said when women turn bad, it get money. When a man have money, he would have a mistress. When a woman become someone's mistress, then he have money. We losing a moral. What is right and what is wrong? So because the morality getting lower and lower, we create a lot of problems. In Taiwanese newspaper, I learned something new too. The first time I heard this term, that's kind of strange. The word mean pick up death. Did anybody hear it? That means pick up a dead body. What does that mean, pick up a dead body? So after I read it over and over again, I realized I understand what that means. There are a lot of people hanging around the bars in Taiwan and China. There's some men spike the drinks. So, the girl get drunk. So after they pass out, they're like a dead body. And they took them to the hotel and take advantage of the woman. Or they wait outside of the bar. You know, young girl, they on those places they like to go to the bar. After they drink so much, they pass out on the floor. Because they're drunk. And then they pick up the dead body. On this world, the people they're looking for, not people needed help. But using the desire to meet their own sexual needs. The world is falling even further. So because of this immorality, we could know there's more and more problem. Do Christians fall in the flesh of the flesh, of the sin? Of course. Do you think? When we eat, are we eating more than we need? Are we using more than what we need? And we keep on thinking about a physical training. Our physical training just is for my body, or is it related to God? I spent a lot of time to think about what could eat, what cannot eat. To think about for my own health? Or we're thinking about that will benefit the God's kingdom. With our thoughts, just emphasize ourselves. And then we easily fall into lusts of a flesh. Is that right? Even Christian, we use a lot of excuses. He said, I exercise, I eat good food, so I could serve God. If you really think that way, praise God. But a lot of things did opposite. They eat the exercise, but not really helping other people. But yourself. And God's word, you don't see this person. I wish all of you think about this. The second thing is the lust of the eye. I'm sure all of you know what the lust of the eye is. A lot of lust of the eye becomes the lust of the flesh. It just continues. When we mentioned about the example of Eve, when Eve saw the fruits, oh, it's pleasing to the eye, let's eat. When we make talk about people pick up death, picking up girls to pass out, you saw this beautiful girl? There's opportunity for you to take advantage of? Actually, the lust of eye, there's so much we could improve, that we could think about or reflect on. Otherwise, you wouldn't see all these ads and all these pornographic sites that actually has to suck us in into the desire of the eyes. Let me ask you all a question. Before I ask the brothers this question before. If we go to the by the ocean, especially Florida seacoast, when we walk on the beach, I spoke this to the brothers. If you saw a beautiful woman running, a beautiful girl running bikini, where are you looking at? I know most of the brothers will not just keep on staring. But if you notice, once in a while you lose your attention, you will look at the girl. The lust of the eyes. What it reflects what we on our heart. There's this book. Men Struggle. It's the book named Every Man Battle. In the book Every Man Battle, it mentions something very important. He said, every man have to practice, have to do reflective motion. If you see something that you're not supposed to see, you turn away. You steer away. So we don't fall into temptation. You just steer away. These are the every man's struggle. And this morning, the sister said, well, we know I'll do that too. Even the sister said that if we see a good-looking man, I would steer again. And God could give us this to judge what's beautiful. What's wrong with looking. But when we keep on falling to the desire of our eyes, we cannot keep on saying our heart is clean. Satan give us, allow us to create these pornographic movie. You give excuse. I just see the movie. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not really hurting anybody. I'm just seeing for myself. Even some brother and sister said, "I see with my wife, so we could." But the problem is, when you seeing the movie, are you thinking your woman? Your wife, or you look at the actress in the movie. When our eyes and desire in our eyes, that's what our mind is too. I'm sure all of you seen Super Bowl. You all seen Super Bowl? You know what type of ad is usually in Super Bowl? Usually, do you buy something after you've seen the ad in Super Bowl? No? Praise God. Do you know the super ad in the Super Bowl is very expensive? Why they spend all the money on the ad? They want to attract you to go buy things. When you see something, you want to buy it. When I saw this beautiful car, this athlete bought it. Does the athlete have owned that car? I want to buy it too. When I saw that beer, when I go to the supermarket, I buy that beer too. This world offers a lot of attraction from lust for eyes and a heart drawn to this. So it tempts us and draws us to our desire of a flesh, of eyes. Did Jesus met temptation? Was he tempted? But he win the temptation. On the third temptation, Satan brought Jesus on top of the world. He showed him all the wealth of this earth. And Satan said, "Look at all these. If you worship me, I give all to you. Whatever you see on his eye, whatever wealth he see on this world." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "I only worship my God. I only follow up, worship him. I only serve him." Jesus used God's own word to resist Satan. Use the heart, God desire to resist the temptation of Satan. That's what we should do when we face temptation. That's what we have to hold dear, the word of God. We use God's word to help us. Constant helper. The third is the pride of life. Pride and perception. Everything that we could brag about. Someone brag about the muscle. Said, "Look at how tall I am, how muscular I am. They could look how beautiful I am. They just look at my muscle. They kind of look at my six pack. Someone look at how much money I have." We talk about what type of war he won. We talk about I'm the director or some president of a certain organization. I'm some school president. They talk about their... I'm doctor from MIT. Is that... Even his teacher is Nobel Prize winner. Wow, we could brag about anything. Some brag about the relationship. I shook hands with some famous person. All these things that we take great pride in, but it's only limited in this earth, this lifetime. Are there any eternal value? No matter how great we are in this world, that really doesn't matter. Eternity, that really mean nothing. But we love to brag. Even me. I really think about how I always have this problem. Remember a few months ago? Remember Pastor Chang mentioned that he want to make it to the volleyball team? So he went to try out for the volleyball team. According to the content of the sermon, it looked like he didn't make it to the volleyball team. I was sitting in the front that day. Do you know what I was thinking? Is that going to think of an opportunity then tell Pastor Chang, you know, I used to play volleyball too. Before I was the captain of my college volleyball team. And after that, become the coach of the volleyball team. How come I think like that? Because I have pride in my heart. I could tell May how great I am before. Pride in the possession. We could see a lot of different things. When you get older, you say, you know, I used to do this, I used to do that. All these are pride on a procession. From today's passage, we know this is from this world, not from God. You know what's a powerful deceit from Satan? We even brag about how devoted we are, the Hippocratic devotion we boast about that. That's another side of our boosting for our pride. Then Satan, when Satan lured Eve, then he said, oh, you could, after eat this fruit, you could be same as we got. Wow, like same as God. Same as God. When Satan know the certain thing that we know we could resist better. But actually, we could even fall into the pride about our devotion to God. A lot of Christians stay with church for a while. And in church, you know, you don't brag about wealth, you don't talk about position. He don't brag about it because people talk about him. But they're pride about other things. We could constantly, when we serve, we constantly fall in this type of trap. When I was in Boston Church, the church have split. Because the church have to elect elder, so it split the church. The church at that time, the church only have one elder. So when the bylaw, when we change the bylaw, we have to elect a few more elder. The original elder did not get chosen. Because one of the nomination committee, a member worked at the elder's company. this deacon believe what on his believe this elder when his work doesn't please God. And then you have evidence that what this elder is not doing is not doing according to the Bible. Because other people are suing this elder. But actually, this elder is one of the original founder of the church. So, but the pastor and the nomination deacons, they came later from other churches to join the church. So the original elder that get nominated will constantly attack the church. This elder said, "All of your salary, the deacons, the president, the pastor don't even make as much as me. I've been in this church for 30 years. You only guys only behind 20 years. Add up all together." Do you know how great my contribution to this church? That's pride in this world. Are you going to see pride in this world in the church? Of course. We constantly ask God to forgive us. Constantly ignite us. Especially the people leading the ministry, the pastor, the deacons, the co-workers, we have to ask for God's will and pray for us. It's just like actually every one of us, if we're not constantly remaining in God. Because the vanity, our own vanity, will actually lead us to ruin. Chinese people always mention there's four things that lead us to sin. You know what's the four things? Exactly. It's alcohol, sex, wealth, and fame. Think about alcohol and sex. That's desire of the flesh. What is wealth? If you have wealth, then... So when you have wealth, you could do all these temptations, sex, alcohol, sex, and you could have fame. And you could be proud about everything, too. What about fame? That's pride. If we have pride, then you could fight with other people. If you really looking about, if you look at that, all these four things of the alcohol, sex, wealth, and fame, and look at our scripture, really reflects what we talk about every day. And verse 17. We talk about that the world, the desire, all will pass away. All this desire will not last forever. What is could really last forever is the meeting the desire of God. Our world is not, we're not only this world, this lifetime. One time when I preach, I bought a big rope. The rope is very long. On the rope, there's this long rope, there's a little red dot. This long rope, the little red dot, that's our life. That's it. we do everything. We work hard. We bring the kid to college, and then we save money. Everything that we do is all on that little dot. Even take care of your grandchildren. Everything just on that little dot on the long, the 70, 80 years, just on that little red dot on the long rope. When we took our last breath, we saw the eternity. We invest all energy on that little red dot. But what happened to the rest of the rope with eternity? For us, all these things that desire the eye, flesh, and proud, all these things that we thought we really something for us to enjoy. What we value in this lifetime and eternity means nothing. What are we pursuing? We pursuing something that never changed, that real, that lasts forever, following the word of God. What is the word of God? What is the will of God? God's will is in our that God gave us a new life. If we follow the will of God, then we could bring this to eternity. We are on this world, we have what I want and need. That's normal. We're living on a world of temptation. All this temptation leads us away from God. What is the biggest investment? What is the greatest blessing? The greatest blessing is our sin is forgiven. We have Christ in us. This treasure is greater than everything else. What we treasure is the new life that God has given us. Then Paul said, if only I have Jesus, I could give up everything. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3, chapter 7 and 9. I have gained loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything because of the surpassing wealth of knowing Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that come from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depend on faith. Let's come back and ask you another question. In verse 15. Do you feel the struggle saying, you know, I love God, but I also love the world too? Do you have the struggle? Some do, some don't. If you don't have it, praise God. If you, I hope you're not the one that really love the world and love God. Some people, it's like this. It's like this scale. Sometimes we love the world more, or sometimes we love God more. And the scale tip back and forth, back and forth. What does the passage say? He said, if you love the world, the love of Father is not in him. This type of love. What is this love? When we mentioned on Greek, there's different meaning for love. Your brotherly love. What type of love is this? Is agape. It means unconditional love. What John told us, if you don't love God completely, you cannot love the Father. So we put all desire in this world. If we put so much emphasis in this world, we cannot love God that much. That's not what God wants. It's not mutual exclusive. You cannot have both. He wants a heart only love God. It's hard, right? It just only love God, a heart. A Christian life. It's not like a life that coming from death to alive. Just like Paul said. What can we boast about? But far be from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, but which the world have crucified to me and I do to the world. According to the world, I'm dead. That does not relate to me. I have no relationship to the world. But we still live in the world. We constantly, every day, we face this temptation every day. But if we focus our eyes on the cross, we think about the grace and the cross accomplished. The love of God in our heart. The love of God, the world is not really with us. If you look at, we mentioned about the three fatal attraction today. Desire of the heart, your eyes, and your pride. Which one have the biggest temptation to you? I don't know if God have used today's message to tell you which part this fatal attraction you want to correct, to focus on. If we fall on this temptation, fatal attraction, a heart loving God is not there anymore. If we love these type of temptation, if we soak ourselves in this temptation, and we love this type of temptation, at the end, the temptation causes us to die. It's fatal. And we have broken relationship with Christ, with God. We pray that God will help us. Even though in this world there's suffering and there's temptation, there's a lot of fatal attraction. But we know our Christ have won the battle. The new life he gave us, we could defeat all these things. God, please help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Your word have convicts us and give us proof. We know that from that we know we belong to you. Everyone that was chosen by you as children, you gave us new heart, a new life. Even though we're still in this life on this earth, every day we constantly tempted by all these temptations. But if we desire to love you completely, and we focus our eye on your cross. we continue to have a good relationship with you. We know that you will give us power to confront all these temptations and even defeat all these temptations so we could be with you in eternity. We pray that you help us. When our faith is weak, we pray that you increase our faith. When we don't have that power, strength, can give us, brother and sister, extra strength to face this temptation. Every day we walk in your path. And let other people to see the blessing you have bestowed upon us. We all pray in the name of Jesus Christ.